This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. So some time ago, I read a poem entitled, If Jesus Came to Your House. The first place that I ever saw this was when I was visiting in someone's home as a guest for a meal. I was preaching in this town, and the family had invited me in their home. And on their refrigerator was this poem, If Jesus Came to Your House. Let me read you just a few lines of that poem. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. You'd keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. That's just a portion of that poem. If Jesus came to your house. That's our subject title today. I hope that you'll stay tuned. Now, I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we are just so delighted that you're tuning in today to watch our telecast. Please stay tuned as we discuss this very challenging topic, if Jesus came to your house. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we continue to offer a free Bible correspondence course. And we'd like for you to have this course. We're going to pause in just a moment so that you can learn more about the course, learn how to receive it. And I would also like to mention the fact that you can receive any of the CDs or DVDs of any of the lessons that you hear or watch on Getting to Know Your Bible, and there is no charge for that for those CDs or those DVDs. We make those free to you as well as the Bible Correspondence Course. Let's pause now, so you can get the information you need.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible Correspondence Course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to call your attention to some passages in the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. When Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a rich tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now note verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because he's also a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This is one of those interesting stories that you'll find in your Bible. It's about Zacchaeus. You may have learned the song about Zacchaeus if you attended Sunday school as a child, and you would sing that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Then he climbed up into a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. There are so many things about this story that capture our attention. First of all, we learn that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And we learn that he was a very rich man. He was a wealthy man. But he was also very resourceful, because he was denied access to Jesus because of his stature. He was a very short individual. And so he ran and he climbed up in a tree. And then while Jesus was passing by, Zacchaeus was recognized by Jesus. And Jesus called him by name. He knew his name. And then he was received joyfully. That's in verse 6. You know, it's this tremendous difference in your life when you receive Jesus with joy. But the crowd turned against Jesus down in verse 7. And they said, this man wants to associate with sinners. And then Zacchaeus told the Lord, I'm willing to pay fourfold to any individual from whom I have taken money by false accusation. If I've been dishonest, I want to make it right. And then Jesus said, today salvation is come to your house. And then in verse 10 is stated the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. But I want us to go back to verse 5. When Jesus looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. For today, I must stay at your house. In other words, I'm going to be at your house today. Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus came to your house? He said, I must abide at your house. You know, let's think about the home for a minute. Your house, your home. God is the individual. He is the one who founded the home. He created the home. It was in the very beginning of time that God saw that it was not good for the man that he had made in his image to be without a companion, to be alone. So he took a rib from the side of the man, and from that rib he created the woman. And when she was given to the man, he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, or cleave to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. In the home as God designed it, there is a husband and there is a wife. God knew what a man was. He created man. And God knew what a woman was. He created a woman. And the man and the woman had children. You know, it is a home is the best place in all of the world. Someone said, this is the place where our stomachs get 3 meals a day, but our hearts get 1,000. This is a place where the world is shut out, Love is shut in. That is the way that God intended the home to be. We live in a day where many people do not respect God, believe in God, and they have corrupted, perverted, twisted God's plan for the home. But let's think about the fact that Zacchaeus was going to have a visitor in his home. I've been a visitor in many homes over my many years of preaching, and I have been treated royally. I've often said that the brethren have been better to me than I really deserved. But what if Jesus is the one who came to your house? I've seen a motto hanging on the walls of some people's homes that goes something like this, that Christ is the head of this house. He is the unseen guest at every meal, and He is the silent listener to every conversation. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing if we could all realize that the Lord is there in our home. We may not see Him, but He is there. The one thing we need in your house is not new flooring, not a new paint job in your home, not new couches or chairs and the like, or not a new kitchen with a big, nice bar in your kitchen. What we need is the Lord in our home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The meaning of that is that the Lord must be at the heart and the core of your family. Suppose Jesus came to your house. Would the Bible be a book that has been used in your home, read every day? You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, God's people in that day were instructed like this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind. The word which I commanded you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach it diligently unto your children. You see, in the long ago, when God was addressing His people through Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 6, He told them that they were to love Him and that they were to revere His word. And they were to teach the word that they learned to their children. Their children, in turn, eventually would teach that to their children. You see, the Bible is to be used in our homes, not gathering dust, but it's not to be used as a place to put pictures and clippings out of the newspaper, perhaps. But it's a book that's to be read and studied every day, because it is the chart and compass for good living. It is that book that will instruct you about how to have a good family. I enjoy going to bookstores. They're just kind of like a magnet to me. I'm pulled into bookstores. And I always look for certain sections of books. I look for books on the family. And it's amazing how many books have been written on the home. But the real book that's the guide, the instruction book for how to have a good family, is the book that I hold in my hand, the Bible. If Jesus came to your house, what place would the Bible have in your home? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, would there be prayer in your family? Would you, when you sit down at a meal, would you pray? And would you thank God for the food that you have? I've often said that we ought to thank God for dirty dishes, and I've had some of the women in the audience to look at me with a rather quizzical look, and maybe it wasn't quizzical. It might have been, what do you mean, thankful for dirty dishes? Because normally I'm the one who has to clean them up. But we need to thank God that we have food to eat to dirty up dishes. There are people, not only in other parts of the world, but perhaps in your own community, who do not have enough to eat. Would you be thankful for what you have? Would the Lord see a family that prays together? It has been said that families that pray together stay together. And that is a very, very truthful saying. If we are found to be in prayer together, then we're going to more than likely we're going to stay together. I would ask the men that are watching right now, do you pray with your wife? Do you pray with her? Do you pray with your children? You see, if Jesus came to your house, would the Lord find a home where prayer was a chief element and a chief practice in your family, in your home? If the Lord came to your house, if Jesus were to knock on the door and said, I'd like to come and spend a day or two with you, what would he find in that home? Would he find love? Or would he find a home that has to very, very quickly adjust their attitude toward one another? Because you see, if Jesus were there, we'd act differently, wouldn't we? But that's the way that we should act all the time. Because, in fact, Jesus does come to our home. He's that unseen guest. He's that silent listener to the conversations that go on in that home. So if he were to come, would he find love in that home? Would he find a home where the husband loves his wife dearly? Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus in the 5th chapter of the Ephesian epistle. And in verse 25, and you husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church and he died for the church. You see, the Bible pictures Jesus as being the husband and the church is his bride. And Jesus loved his bride, the church, enough that he was willing to give his life for her. And if we are to love our wives as Jesus loved the church, we will love our wives sacrificially. You see, Jesus sacrificed himself for his bride, his wife. We need to be willing to sacrifice for our spouses, our wives. That's the kind of a love that we should have. You say, what do you mean sacrifice? Do you mean I'm supposed to die for her? Well, should you get in some kind of circumstance, I would hope that the first person you would try to protect would not be yourself, but would be your wife. But you see, we need to be willing to sacrifice our time for our wives. We need to take time with them. You say, well, I give my wife money to spend, and I bought her a new car. She has clothes. She has diamonds. She has beautiful home to live in. But let me tell you, sir, the one thing that your wife really wants is you. She wants you. And if you don't think that I'm telling you the truth, why not ask her? She wants your time. Sometimes a man comes home from work and I know he's tired. You see, preachers get tired as well. Sometimes I go home and I'm very tired from all of the work that I've been doing during the day, especially when I tape a television program such as I'm doing just now. But you still need to take time with your family and with your wife. If you have small children, you need to take time with them. We need to love our wives. And the Lord ought to find that in the home. He ought to immediately be able to see, here's a husband who loves his wife dearly, just like I love my wife. But then he ought to find a family where wives love their husbands. That's taught in the second chapter of Titus, verses 4 and 5. And there ought to be a place where we love one another and we love our children. There was a little child who ran and he stuck a note in a gate in front of a house. Well, the owner of the home saw that child do that and he went down and got the note. And this is what the note read. Please, whoever finds this, I just want somebody to love me. Our children want to know that they are loved in the home. And love is not some sick sentimentality. Love is what we do. You see, love is a verb. Love is what we do in the home. So if Jesus came to your house, would he find a home where the husband loved the wife and the wife loves the husband and the parents love the children and the children love the parents? Is that what he'd find in your home? I've often said, and I still believe this to be true, that it is far more important for our children to be able to tell that mother and daddy love each other than it is for them to tell that mother and daddy love them. Because they know that if mother and daddy love each other, they know that mother and daddy are going to love them. You see, love is needed in our homes today. And love would eliminate so many of the problems that we have in our families today. It would eliminate divided homes. It would eliminate homes where divorce comes up. If we really love one another, we work through all the problems and the difficulties that we have. If Jesus came to your house, would he find love? Would he find people that are having a good influence on others in the home? You know, all of us are creatures of influence. There's not a person watching this right now but what you have influence. Even if you are living alone and if you're on up in your years, you're still influencing people in some fashion. All of us are creatures of influence. And we need to have good influence on our children and our grandchildren because children imitate what they see in other people. And it is a very serious thing to lead a child astray by poor example. Oh, I wish that every father could realize that his son wants to be just like him. And if his father is living a Christian life, if he's trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, with all of his soul, passionately loving Christ, that child is going to grow up and try to be just exactly like his father. And girls like to be want to be like their mothers. And sometimes girls like to be like their fathers. I know fathers that hunt, and then their daughters like to do the same. Example, influence, ought to be found. That is, good influence, good examples need to be found in the home. But if Jesus came to your house, would he find peace in the home? Would he find peace? Or would he find a home where there's quarreling? Where there is loud quarreling? Where sometimes there is physical violence in the home? You see, that doesn't happen. It happens every day. In all probability, somewhere in America, while I am saying these words to you right now, there's been a case of violence, physical violence in a home. We need to have homes where there is peace, where there is love, where there's good example, where there's prayer, Bible reading, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the family. If Jesus came to your house, would you be a Christian? You say, well, I've been thinking about it. The time to act is now. And I'd urge you to become a Christian by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, John 8:24. I'd urge you, sir and ma'am, to repent of your sins. I would urge you to be willing to acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ. And as a believer, a penitent believer, a confessing penitent believer in Jesus, I would urge you to allow some individual, some servant of God, to baptize you for the remission of your sins. You say, well, why would I want to do something like that? Because Jesus, the one who knows what goes on in your home, said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. Please call for the Bible course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Precept and Bible.